So we've been at this, 20 weeks, I think, already? Soul we looked at for 11 weeks. Of course, 8 of those were concurrent with David. And today is our 18th week to look at David. And David's had a lot of trials before being king. And now he's had a lot of trials since his sin with Bathsheba, hasn't he? He had the child die. The one daughter raped by the son, then the other son killing the other son. Then the son's trying to steal the kingdom, which led to a civil war and 20,000 people dying. Then wars and famines. And then, of course, the numbering we looked at last week, which led to more people dying. And one last trial today, and that is one more son's going to try to steal the kingdom. And that's Adonijah. Here in 1 Kings chapter 1. So, Brother Scott, if you could read verses 5 to 9, and we'll pray and get started.
And Adonijah, the son of Gibeah, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared chariots and horsemen, and took the men to run before them. And his father had not displeased him at any time, and saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man. Mother bare him after Absalom, and he conferred with Joab, the son of Uriah, and with Eliezer, priest. And they, following Adonijah, helped him, and Zadok, the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan, the prophet, and Shimei, and Lehi, and the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone and Zoheleth, which is by Hinnom, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom. Bless each class throughout the buildings as the teachers impart your word to the young people, and bless us today with your wisdom. As we continue looking at the life of David, may we continue to learn and may we continue to grow in your word through this time. We commit it to you and love you in Christ's name. Amen. So David's another one of David's son trying to steal the kingdom away and coming up with this plot, if you will, with the 50 men and getting Joab on his side. And getting one of the priests on his side, trying to call all the other sons together to, you know, shore up support for his claim to the throne. David is at the end. Everybody knows he's old. He's about to die. And so Adonijah is going to try to claim to be that one. He is David's son, no question. The only issue with all of that, of course, is that David has already declared that the next king will be Solomon, one of his other sons. And we also see some that David not only had this weakness with women, which is obvious, but toward the end, obviously, his parenting skills weren't the greatest. Did you see that in verse 6? He said his father had not displeased him at any time. In other words, he had not corrected him, told him when he was doing wrong, and he's now reaping some of that as well. So this is the final piece of the chastisement that was promised, where he was told that there would be fighting and wars and the family issues, which we have seen over and over again. So Bathsheba and Nathan now are going to work with David and with the counterplot, if you will, to try to stop this from happening. From Adonijah becoming the king when David had already declared it should be Solomon, and actually God had declared it as well. So, Howard, if you could do for us 10 through 14.
Nathan the prophet, and Ben-Nundu, and the mighty men of Solomon his brother, before Gilead. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David, our Lord, knoweth it not? Now, therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thy own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, Let us not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaiden, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah grow? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm my words.
So Nathan the prophet, remember this is the same prophet that corrected David a long time ago with his sin with Bathsheba. He said to Bathsheba, we have to do something now or this is going to go too far and probably you and Solomon will be killed. So go talk to the king immediately and remind him of his promise. And so that's exactly what she did. 15 to 21, Philip, if you would. And now Nathan's going to come in and confirm what's going on. So Roy, if you could do 21 down through 27.
Otherwise it shall come to pass when my lord the king shall sleep with his offenders that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. And though, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. They told the king, saying, Behold, Nathan the prophet, when he was coming before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face in the ground. Nathan said, My lord, O king, as thou said, I imagine shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. For he has gone down this day, and slain oxen and cattle and sheep in abundance, and all the king's sons and the captains of the host, and of the authority of the priests, and behold, they eat and drink before him, and say, God save King Adonijah. For me, even me, thy servant, is Zadok the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, king of Israel. This thing done by my lord the king, and thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, he should sit on the throne of my lord the king and Israel.
So now David is going to set things right. Verse 28, then King David answered and said, Call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, Assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth, did reverence to the king, and said, Let my lord, King David, live forever. So David is now going to do his part, he's still the king, to make sure that Solomon is anointed the king. So that's 32 through 40. So Mark, if you could read those for us.
Come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I
appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, Amen. The Lord God of my Lord, the Lord God of my Lord, the king says so. Done to 40, wasn't it?
To 40, yes, please.
As the Lord had been with my Lord, the king even to be, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord, King David. So Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Jethroites, and the Pelethites, went down and told Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and bore him into Gilgal. And Zadok the priest took and the horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped the pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of him.
So now we've had two sons of David declare to be king, pretty much at the same time. But more people are now following after Solomon than we're following after Adonijah. So Adonijah is wise enough to see that he's in trouble, that this could go bad very quickly. So James, if you could do for us just a tiny passage, 40 to 49. 41 to 49, sorry.
And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it, as they had made an end of eating. And when Job heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, Wherefore is this noise in the city being in an uproar? And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said unto him, Come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bring us good tidings. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, Verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. And the king had sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they had caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and anointed the king from Gihon, and they had come up from thence rejoicing. So that the city rang again, this is the noise that ye have heard. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than my throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. And also thus said the king, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seen. And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid, and rose up, and with every man as well.
So much for that plot. That didn't last very long, did it? So Adonijah and all his guests disappeared into the woodwork and said, well, we can't outdo this, can we? When David himself and the priest and all the people are there. So now they have to flee, essentially, and wonder if they're going to live. So that's, you read to 49, right? So 50 to 53, Brandon. Taking hold of the horns on the altar, that was kind of, you know, when we used to play tag and there was always a safe place. That was the safe place. Because nobody's going to come into the temple and kill you in the temple out of respect for Jehovah. And so that was the place to say, I'm safe for now. You can't stay there. Obviously, you're starved to death, but it was just what happened back then. And so Solomon, already showing some wisdom, says, I'm not going to kill him. But he has to show himself a worthy man. So any thoughts or questions up to this point? We're seeing Solomon now anointed the king. It'll be our third king of Israel that we'll be studying and beginning now to make some decisions. So next we'll see David helping to prepare for the actual temple that will be built and giving charge to everyone who will be involved in that, charge to the princes, and then a charge to Solomon before it. But before we do all that, any thoughts or questions? Nobody?
So, did King Solomon ever got married?
Oh, yeah. The list is too long. It would take all morning to read it. We don't know all their names because he had a thousand wives and concubines.
What? What a great
event. Okay. So let's go to 1 Chronicles 22 as we continue our study of David and a little bit of Solomon at this point. So here in 1 Chronicles 22 all the way through 20, essentially 29. So these eight chapters, David is giving his final charges and he's preparing materials and workers to build the temple. Remember, it was David, it was in his heart to build the temple, and God said, "You're not going to build my temple because you've been a man of war. Your son will build the temple, Solomon." But David still helped get the materials and the workers together so that it could happen. But here in chapter 22, he begins that preparation. So, Cash, have you read yet? Can you do 1 through 5 for us of 22, 1 Chronicles?
And David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering of Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors, for the gates, for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weights, and also cedar trees in abundance for the
Zidonians.
And they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceeding
magnificent.
Of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death."
By the way, we'll get to see a similar temple in the kingdom, amen? Because it was torn down and destroyed, but David wanted it to be magnifical. Isn't that a nice word? In other words, amazing, beautiful, bring all the people when they see it. That was David's desire for God's temple, which would be the first one. And you know, remember, it was rebuilt later under Ezra, but it wasn't as magnificent as the original. So then David gives his charge to his son Solomon in 6 to 16. Kelvin, you want to read that for us? Am I saying it wrong?
Mine said magnificent. And now I'm doing what you're thinking about.
I don't know what version.
Jackie, we need to have a talk after. I thought you knew better. Some King James, okay, we'll stop and do a little side note here. Some publishers of the King James chose to anglicize certain words. So they didn't actually change the word, they just anglicized it and made it more English, more modern, if you will. So magnificent and magnificent are essentially the same word. One's just from the 1600s, and one would be more modern. So mine says magnificent. Some of you, I guess, say magnificent. Is that right? Or only Jackie? Okay, maybe that's suspect then. It's all about the publisher, though. There's multiple publishers of King James Bibles, and some of them chose to do this and some chose not to. Like the word emeralds. You know what an emerod is? It's a hemorrhoid. So some have modernized it to hemorrhoid, even though it was an emerod. Christine's like, I always wondered what that was. And we could go on and on. So some translators chose to go ahead and modernize these old words, and some didn't. Does that help? So magnifical, magnificent, but David wanted it to be great. Amen? So Kelvin, could you read for us 6 to 16, which is David's charge to his son Solomon? So this is very important.
Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest for all his enemies around about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee.
So what is the main part of the charge? Anybody catch that?
Be strong and of good courage.
Okay, so be strong and of good courage. What else? Brad? Pardon? To build the house, yes. What's the main part of the charge?
Keep the statutes.
Thank you. Obedience. Obedience to God's word. Did you see? He mentioned it twice. He said, the Lord will be with you, but again, you have to obey the word of God. And so we're again seeing the heart of David here. Remember, David loved God's word and talked about his love for it often. And so he's saying to his son, you'll prosper, verse 13, if, there's an if there, if you take heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. If you obey God's word, you will be blessed. Did Solomon obey God's word? Initially. But then he started worshiping false gods because he got led astray by some of his wives and concubines, which we'll talk about in the future. But he chose to disobey the statutes that God had given, and that led to his downfall. Yes, Brother Mark?
Yeah, I suppose with David's Christian experience of moving the ark because he doesn't follow the word in the sense.
That's right.
Because he had skin in the game, he knew in the sense he isn't, so forth. So he's trying to pass on to his son and have a good parent.
Amen. Remember, when they moved the cart, they did it wrong. They put it on a cart, rather than carrying it with staves by the priests, which was commanded and clearly laid out in Scripture. And someone died because of it, and then David got scared and moved the ark somewhere else for a while. It always came back to the Word of God. If you will obey God's Word, you shall prosper. So good advice, and this is the beautiful charge to Solomon. Any thoughts or questions before we move on? Did you see how much gold and silver there were? I forget what a talent is, but it's around a half a kilo or something. And it says there was 1 million talents of silver.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot of silver. And what was it? 100,000 talents of gold. So that's just what they're going to use to build the temple with. Because so many parts of the temple were overlaid with gold and silver. So that's a lot of money. Which is why it eventually got torn down and taken away by attacking nations because of all the gold and silver and brass and so forth. Any thoughts or questions? We've here heard his charge. Now he's going to give a charge to the princes and so forth. All right, Brad. 17 to 19, the charge to the princes.
David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now see your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord."
Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. So charging the leaders that will be under Solomon. Now your homework is to read chapters 23 through 27. We're not going to go through them. But in those chapters, David set aside the Levites. He set aside the priests, set aside the musicians, the singers, the doorkeepers, the treasurers, the officers, the judges, the army captains, the chiefs of the tribes. He was laying everything out so it would all be organized for his son. And like I say, we're not going to read through this, so we're going to jump over to 28, where he now addresses the people, the assembly of the people, here in 1 Chronicles 28. Verses 1 to 10. Any more readers over here before we move on? Any volunteers? Nathan, could you read 1 to 10 of 28?
Take heed now, the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it.
Amen. Remember, he was reminding them, verse 7, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments. This is what God said to David when he said, I'm going to choose Solomon and I will bless his kingdom if he obeys my word. And initially, of course, he did, and we'll get there. So thoughts or questions? Good place to stop. So next week, David will give his final instructions to Solomon. Then all of chapter 29 is about the offering that he took from the people to build the temple, and then his final prayer of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And then he gives his final words to Solomon and then dies at 70 years old. Yes?
This word for the using for the temple and the sanctuary, the Catholic Church used to say that the church was a sanctuary in a sense. They go there to protect themselves from soldiers or whoever it was. It was coming if they get in from the same.
You mean, did they steal the word from the Bible?
No,
yes,
the word,
they did. Right, that's how they see it.
Yeah.
But God referred to the tabernacle in Moses' time also as the sanctuary. And so David is now just carrying on that, because now they're replacing essentially the tabernacle, which was the traveling tent, with the temple. But it's still going to have the holy place and the holy of holies. And it'll be in Jerusalem, of course. But yes, that's where they got the word and the idea. So David is now addressed the assembly. Next week, he'll give his final words. Any other thoughts or questions before we close in prayer? So next week, we will say farewell to David, who dies at 70 years old. And he was 30 when he took over as king, remember? So he reigned for 40 years. Saul reigned for 40 years.